It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Good afternoon, everybody. Joe Costello here, WFO. We're getting ready for the Denso Big Go. That's right, the U.S. Nationals begin tomorrow, and I am super excited and fired up as we get ready for the biggest, the most significant, the most important drag race on the planet. We're talking about the Super Bowl, the Daytona 500 wrapped inside the Indy 500, and the 2020 election all wrapped into one drag race. I'm telling you, it's the biggest thing that has ever happened, especially considering what has gone on in the world over the past 6 months. The fact that we get to go and be out there at the U.S. Nationals, I am super excited. And on this show, we have got the defending Top Fuel race winner, Doug Coletta, going to be joining us for our WFO Radio live stream just seconds from now. In addition to NHRA National Dragsters Kevin McKenna, going to have a great conversation as we get ready for the U.S. Nationals. And this is my final broadcast before I head out to Indy. As you know, I am super excited. If you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube, subscribe, click the bell, share the show, get it out there. And of course, feel free to post your comments and ask a question. This is an interactive show. Maybe even start a watch party for all you Team Coletta fans out there who are rooting for Doug and you want to see Doug go out there and win the championship. Well, last year he broke through at the U.S. Nationals. He's looking to continue that momentum. Now, before we get into it, before we get rolling, I want to tell you about some great sponsors, these people that make it possible. And I know you hear about them every week, but that is because they support this show. Without them, I'd be working in the lumberyard like Danny Noonan. And instead, I'm doing these fantastic shows. People like Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology, took out a full page advertisement. Our podcast, Hidden Horsepower, for engine builders and engine nerds and anybody who wants to find hidden horsepower, the piston rings, you wouldn't believe how much horsepower is in ring seal, and you can learn a lot about it on Hidden Horsepower, or just go to TotalSeal.com to find out more information. Also, Rodak, CoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak was a listener, and he sent me a bacon recipe, and we got to chatting, and now he is supplying coffee, gourmet coffee, to many of our listeners all around the country and around the world. Hot sauces and spice rubs, everything good. Marvin Rodak, Outdoor Kitchens down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. Go to Rodak's, check it out. Also, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, The Dragster Adventure, or get your super gas license. For instance, look at this. Student doing a burnout, Frank Hawley watching over him in the school's Firebird super gas car, and that's how the next generation of drag racers come around. So whether you want to get your super comp or super gas license, maybe your top alcohol funny car license, maybe you want to chase after Doug and try to become a national event winner, well, you can get started at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. And finally, samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Yes, Samtech is where the next generation of engine builders and machinists will get started. Whether you want to be involved in drag racing or aerospace, whether you want to work at, who knows, Don Schumacher Productions or Boeing, a good education at Samtech can help you get started. And we need you, the next generation. Go to samtech.edu and really thank the Massengill family for supporting WFO Radio. Also, if you want free WFO Radio stickers, we'll give you that address now and again later on in the show. But now it is time for the defending race winner. This guy got it done going into this race. He was one of those like, Doug, when are you going to win the U.S. Nationals? And he was like, this year, and he did it. And he joins us now. Doug, welcome back to WFO Radio. Your first time on the live stream, I think, and you're as the defending race winner going into the big go. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on, and was able to get through the technology of getting on your thing here. Thanks to Luke, my ever-trusting social media guy. So
says the pilot who flies planes. You're used to more switches and dials and monitoring gauges than clicking a link. But I get what you're saying. But all right, so here we are a year later after a major league accomplishment, getting ready to go back to Indy for the big go. I know you've raced there a few times and you had a test, but how are you feeling?
Yeah, feeling good. The guys left this morning. We're just kind of getting set up, and I'm going to head down Friday sometime in the morning, and yeah, we should be in good shape. We tested down there last week a little bit and learned a few things, I hope. And, you know, it's always exciting to get back at the U.S. Nationals, you know, with growing up with Connie and all the history and just seeing all the, you know, all my heroes of the sport, you know, racing there over the years, and, you know, being able to be there when Connie won the U.S. Nationals, still one of the highlights of my life, really, with him getting that done. And then obviously, you know, having the opportunity last year to get the win was huge for Connie, me, everybody apart, you know, everybody on the Coletta Motorsports effort here. We're looking forward to it. You know, JR with the funny car, he went there and won a couple of years in a row. So hopefully your fact check guy can make sure that's good. I know you're saying something about fact checking me, but no, JR, he showed us how it was done at the U.S. Nationals, and definitely going to be trying to get it again.
Well, you guys are able to elevate, and you breaking through was a big deal, and we got some photos of that moment. One of our great interviews, you know, you look as, and someone in my position looks forward to big moments, and being able to interview you after that win, knowing how hard you tried, how much it means to the family, and then you get it. But you never know if you're going to get it. And you can work as hard as possible, even harder, and not get it. And we know that that's happened. But tell me about this moment where you turn the corner and the race is over and you've accomplished this major goal that had eluded you.
Yeah, it was, you know, I thought we had given it away because we coasted across the finish line. And I thought for sure we were going to get past there. And so it was just very, very fortunate, it seemed to me anyways, at that moment, and coming around the corner down there and getting the win under such fashion of, you know, coasting across. But it's drag racing. I mean, you never know what's going to happen out there, and you just got to make sure your wind light comes on, and that's what happened for sure. But, you know, we were runner-up the year before. We thought we had it then, and, you know, it was a huge relief because it's one of those – wish list items on your things to do list. And it was a huge moment for me, really.
Relief. I like to hear that word. And anybody who's competed and wanted something really badly and put a lot of work into it knows about it. And I remember when Dale Earnhardt won the Daytona 500, that's what he expressed. He expressed relief, like, oh, thank goodness. And to see you be unburdened from those major milestones, tremendous. And now you're going back into another race. But here we are. NHRA has just announced their schedule, the most definitive schedule announcement we have had since the start of this whole pandemic situation. Six races remaining. I'll tell everybody, if they didn't hear Brian Lohnes on NHRA's Facebook page, explain all the details. But Gainesville is the next race. We've got six to go. You're the points leader. And so as much as this is the U.S. Nationals, it's also part of a bigger story, another element that you're chasing for your career.
Yeah, you know, and I've got a great effort behind me this year again. You know, everything that Connie has put together with the, you know, Coletta Motorsports and Chad Head and, you know, my Troy and Robin tuning my car with all my guys. I mean, I've got an incredible opportunity with this Mack Tools car. We got the TRD guys out there helping us at the track, always, you know, working to help us, and just everybody that's part of my effort. You know, it'll be fun. It's one thing for sure. I mean, it's very competitive out there, and I'm just really looking forward to the challenge again this year, and again with a great effort, and we'll just give it our best. You know, we're diehard drag racers for sure. At least, you know, I am, and that's a goal, and we're trying to make it happen.
Yes, exactly. You know, we had Rob Flynn on the show, like right before we switched to the live streaming. We did a deep dive into Rob's career, and I know Troy is just everybody is working, and that's why you guys tested. And there was even a rematch of last year's final round at the first Indy race. You know who you're going to have to compete against, and this year you know, we always talk about who, you know, emotions in drag racing and everything. And normally, and we're going to put it up there right now, we're flying the Nitro Ninja for Dom Lagana in the upper right-hand corner ever since they got injured. And the Capco team, that's the rival team. Not that there's no other teams. We'll talk about standings and whatnot. But they're now on a mission also, Doug. And for these next few races, it's going to be amazing to watch the best of the best battling for a Wally and battling for money and battling for hardware and accolades. But really, both camps have something much more important that they're racing for.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we're all just praying for Dom and, you know, his family and everything that's going on there. And, you know, we just can't express how much we hope he can pull through and just keep healing and keep doing what he's doing. And yeah, we're going to be out there trying to make him proud with what we're doing, obviously competing against, you know, a team that he's worked and spent a lot of time on. Hopefully we can, just go out there. And obviously we're trying to win every round we can. And like you say, the competition is, there's a lot of cars out there that can run good. I think there's over, I don't know what the field is, but there'll be plenty of cars at Indy. And, but we're looking forward to it. We're up for the challenge. And, it's one of those deals that, you just got to keep your head down and make it happen.
Absolutely. Now I did not warn you about this, but it's just a statement of fact that we have a live component here. And so people who love Doug are out there on the Facebook and on the YouTube and Twitter, and they're chiming in. This gentleman, I don't know who it is because their username didn't come up, but it says, "Let Doug know I said Doug and Rob equal a winning combination. I have serious respect and admiration for both guys and glad to know them both." It says, Joe Morrison is saying that. So you guys have got, respect and admiration from a lot of folks out there.
Yeah, he's, Rob and I think, and Troy, really all my guys, I mean, we're just as hungry as ever to win a championship. We're all been working our tails off at it. And Rob obviously is, just got a ton of experience along with Troy and, really all my guys. So, but Rob is, he's been great to work with. And, it's just great knowing that, he's in my corner and just as hungry as ever. And that's kind of the way I feel as well.
Daryl Gwynn out there saying what's up and giving us a couple of emojis. Edwin says, Doug, you're an awesome racer and look forward to seeing you this week. What's your favorite and least favorite track on the circuit? That's an interesting question. I can tell you my favorite is Lucas Oil Raceway because that's the one I'm going to next. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, that's the one that we've been gravitating towards this year with, pandemic that's going on. So yeah, I mean, it's keeping us racing right now. So that's definitely the one that is my favorite at the moment. As far as the least, geez, I like going to all the tracks, really. So probably the one that, it's tough.
Right? Well, the least favorite, how do you say? I don't know. I think it's a bad question. No offense, Edwin, but they're all great.
They're all great.
No, totally agree. So I'm looking at the here are the races that are coming up. We've got Indy, of course, this weekend. Then a couple of weeks off, Gainesville, the Amalie Motor Oil NHRA Gator Nationals here in Florida. And then October 2nd through 4th, going to head out to St. Louis, the Mopar Express Lane Midwest Nationals. They just had the IndyCar race a couple of weeks ago, back-to-back races, fans there, very exciting. And then Billy Meyer's Texas Motorplex, the AAA Texas Fall Nationals, October 14th through 18th. Then the other Texas race, Houston, October 23rd through 25th, the Mopar Express Lane NHRA Spring Nationals. And then the season ends, a definitive end date in Vegas, the Dodge NHRA Finals presented by Pennzoil in Las Vegas. When you think about that, six races to glory. I don't want to say it's the countdown is starting, but we're almost on schedule. We're at Indy. There's six after that, and we will decide champions in Vegas.
Yeah, it's the countdown for sure. We're here. So, with my team, we've won at all of them. And so I've got a lot of fond memories going to each one of these tracks. And, we're real happy that, you know, it's hopefully a very definitive schedule, and they've put a lot of thought in, you know, as far as us being able to race at these facilities and not just kind of hoping each week. So it'll be interesting, and certainly look forward to getting out there, and especially this weekend at the U.S. Nationals, and we'll start there and just motor on, see what happens.
Yeah, the unprecedented nature. Now, I want to make it clear to everybody, because I did say it's like the countdown, because we're at Indy, and then we have six races after it. But it's not like the countdown, because every round matters. And if you can get a giant lead and rip off two or three wins in a row, the championship can be won before the final race or a couple of races, depending on how things go. That's a departure from the countdown time. Does that change your strategy, outlook in any way, knowing that every round you win is helping you win the championship?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, that's the way we've kind of approached this season, you know, all year long, is every round super, super important. And, you know, the format, obviously, you know, some people liked it, some people didn't. But fortunately, you know, this year we're ahead in the points. We just got to, so we're not going to have any major change with that. So, yeah, it's just one of them deals, Joe, where we just got to keep going rounds for sure. Like, you know, like what we got to do to stay ahead.
Exactly. And there is six races, including Indy. Let me just rephrase that. Qualifying, a little bit different in that you have more than the two, but less than the five we're used to. So adding a third session in terms of strategy, like get it down through there and then step on it. Have you guys been relying on a certain methodology to get through qualifying? It's clearly been successful. You've had some good runs at Indy, making final round, et cetera. But you know, how is that decided upon pre-race or depending on conditions? Give us some idea.
Yeah, I have to admit, it's been a little more challenging qualifying with just two qualifying sessions. You know, with obviously without, you know, India, we'll have four here, but it does make it trickier. I mean, if you don't get down the track on the first one, you're, you know, you're going up to that second session, you know, just trying to get down the track and putting a number up. So, you know, we've been kind of close to the top of the heap, kind of, you know, we haven't been low qualifier first or second. So, you know, maybe the points, you know, less qualifying things, you know, probably will maybe play into us not necessarily having the, you know, the quickest car out there in qualifying. But it seems like Sundays is when we, put together what we hope is, you know, the winning combination. So we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. This is the calm before the storm. Now, what I've always been interested in is how you, obviously I reference you being a pilot and you light up, because that's something that is so, like, I don't know what I can relate to less, driving a top fuel dragster or, of course, being a pilot. And some of our listeners want to know about that. Like Derek wants to know, is there anything that you haven't flown that you'd like to fly?
Yeah, probably, you know, like some cool military jet, like a F-18 or something like that. But, you know, we used to have these Learjets that were super light, had plenty of power, and they would just climb like crazy. The Lears we run now, and I still fly those, aren't quite as zoomy as the lighter, older ones that we had back in the day, but still, they perform pretty well. Back and forth to Indy, we've got this King Air we've been running around with, so that's like a single pilot thing. And I was out actually last night delivering 747 parts and people last night, and coming back into Detroit last night, the weather was, you know, just thunderstorms, and it's just one of those deals. Some days you just have to deal with that kind of stuff, but no, I love flying. Still checked out in, you know, the Lear and the Falcon and our King Air is kind of what I gravitate towards. When we have a Challenger, I'm not checked out left seat with that thing, because it takes like a month to go to ground school to get typed in the thing, and it's really, we just have one of them, but it's a real nice plane. So, but no, I really enjoy you know, flying during the week, and I don't do it that much because I'm in the office running my business. Usually when we're out of pilots is when they
Okay, get out there. We need you.
You want to turn down this trip, or do you want to?
And you make a run. You make a delivery.
So it's like, you know me, I'm an easy target for going flying. So, but no, it's an interesting, business, and just all of what we do is all what I do. I love both, and I've certainly been able to get away from the office on the weekends and race is definitely my passion. It's been doing it now 22 years and with drag racing, and I did it for like 15 years prior to that, so I've had some points thing that I'd run for a number of years. So love it all, and very thankful that I get to do what I'm doing, so it's a good time to have a good running car going into these last seven races for sure.
It really does. One of the questions was, what about big stuff like a bomber, like big planes versus smaller planes? It makes sense that you as a drag racer would like power to weight.
Yeah, the 747s that Connie's got like 24 of them, and I'd mess around in the sim. Those things, I had an opportunity years ago because I flew these DC-8s, which were these big four-engine jobs, and those we flew around domestically so I could be close enough to make sure I got home to race on the weekends. And the 747 was always, it just went too far. It was too risky, but I have to admit, if I was really going to get checked out in something that I thought was probably the coolest plane, it would probably be the 747. It's just such a large airplane and carries so much freight and fuel, and 16 hours later you're still in the air.
That's amazing.
It's just kind of cool,
like Air Force One too. It's like a plane that is Air Force One. Any final thoughts, Doug, as you get ready? You're in many ways a team leader. Also, you mentioned JR has had such great success, and Sean, and just thinking about the way that they look up to you, and every time I interview someone from Coletta Motorsports, of course they mention the quote unquote the old man, rad man, whatever. Connie as the leader, but what you have done to contribute to Coletta Motorsports' success is always mentioned right alongside as an example, as a driver, as a talented driver, going back to your sprint car days, things to learn, things to share with young drivers coming up who have both been champions now. Just talk about like that leadership role in that it's a race team, but it's a family. You guys prioritize having victory, of course, but having fun. I've always heard that from the Coletta guys, the crew guys even, that, we work till we're done, but we enjoy every minute of it. Speak on that a little bit so people understand the Coletta Motorsports, motto, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I've got quite a history, right out of high school, early 80s. I worked on Connie's dragster for like 10 years doing the bottom end, and I was a fly-in guy. So I've been around Connie and the whole motorsports effort for a number of years. It's just incredible the people that we've had come and go with this, with our team and the relationship that we've built. And obviously, we're out there competing week in and week out with our friends and trying to win these races. Connie, obviously, has been our fearless leader with this drag racing, been doing it his whole life, and still, to this day, his passion is second to none with what we're doing. So he's over at the shop, just making sure that everybody's got what they need to do their job and, to build on these new opportunities that, either him or some of the guys may come up with that we should be testing or trying. So, I think that's what really motivates Connie more than anything, is just being the innovator with our machine shop and all the stuff to make these cars go faster. So, but no, I appreciate that. I've put a lot of effort into, trying to help the team however I can, and obviously supporting anything that needs to go on with it. And we're all cheerleaders for one another, and right now we've probably got the best group of guys, you know, throughout our three-team effort and hospitality and all of our, you know, great sponsors. You know, Mac Tools obviously is, I've been with, you know, they've been on my car, I think 19 years now. We got the TRD Toyota guys. I mean, it's been a, you know, just a great effort with their help with everything they do for us. And, you know, just a list of, you know, the list continues to go on. And obviously we appreciate everybody's help and support with what we're doing. So, so yeah, we're just, you know, just really happy to be part of what, you know, what we have going on here at Clutter Motorsports, and hope to continue to try to build this thing and encourage, you know, our family to continue to be part of it. So it's all good right now.
And Steve mentions the double up, which, you know, the double up coming soon.
Yeah. Yeah. That's still on our, it's going to happen. Maybe this weekend.
Doug, thank you very much for coming on WFO Radio. Normally, this is an audio-only experience. We've all been dealing with the pandemic. I think this worked out quite well. Maybe we can make an appointment for next week, our U.S. Nationals winner interview take two from last year. It's certainly possible. You got the team to do it. You got the talent to do it. And I know you're going to have a lot of fans that are rooting for you to do it. So good luck in the big go. Thank you for taking time here on WFO Radio. And the points lead is yours, 83 up on Steve-O, 89 up on Leah, 146 up on Billy. You'll be fighting hard. That's all we can ask. Good luck.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it, Joe. And thanks, everybody. Appreciate you having me on.
There he goes. Doug Coletta, everybody. Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it. There he goes. Doug Coletta with us here on WFO Radio. Doug is great. And, you know, he's a busy guy. That's the thing that everybody needs to understand, is that Doug is, you know, now he is off to do something else. They are hustling. And that's the thing, the hard work. The hard work of everybody in drag racing. You know, I was doing some work before here and I went and got a sandwich and it came back. No sandwiches. Hard work. There you go. I'm real excited. You know, that Coletta double up, it could happen this weekend. JR is a guy who's got a nose for victory at the U.S. Nationals. And so we shall see. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Somebody who knows a whole lot about it, from NHRA National Dragster, joining me now from somewhere in Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm guessing his office right out in front of the racetrack, Mr. Kevin McKenna. Kevin,
I'm doing good. You're so close. It's actually my home office, but I'm only about a mile from the racetrack.
You didn't have to say that, though. You could have just said that you were working hard at the office, NHRA facility. You didn't have to say you were home. It could have just been like, yeah, hard work.
You know, in the interest of fair reporting, we want to be honest here and level with everyone. So,
got it. I appreciate it. So you just heard Doug. Let me get some of your takeaways from Doug's demeanor. You know, we got him on the live stream and everybody's had to adjust to new media responsibilities. He's down. He's in the warehouse area of his company, just working on stuff. Take some time for us. That breakthrough win last year, that was major for his career because he had won so many things, was so successful with Coletta, but had not won the championship or the U.S. Nationals. Now he's got an Indy win, which that solidifies Doug forever.
Yeah, it's funny. I almost wanted to ask him what his memories are of when he raced the Silver Crown car on the circle track there, because that's we actually went to one of the a couple of the circle track races last week, and that's you know, very, very different from drag racing, obviously, but it's hard not to notice the amount of skill it takes to wheel those cars. And you know, Doug being a former USAC champion, be interested to get his thoughts on those days.
Yeah. Well, it blows my mind that, you know, the piloting and the top fuel driving, but that stat that we drop out that he competed directly against Tony Stewart, one of the greats of all time, and was victorious. That tells you about his driving ability. And we got something else to ask Doug as we get closer. All right. So there's all different categories involved, but I got something I want to share with the audience, and I want to share it with you as well, assuming the internet allows us to do so. Last year, we had this incredible heads up final round stock eliminator, and I was totally spent. My voice was gone and shredded. I could do no more on the microphone. So instead, I went down to the pit area and started to capture moments as best as I could to savor in the future. And I think we should all savor this moment right now. This is the heads-up final round stock eliminator a year ago. Are you ready, K-Mac?
Let's see it.
Let's see it. Here we go. Remember, it was late. Final round U.S. Nationals. Stock eliminator. Heads up, H stock automatics. Randy Lynn, what's happening here?
This is a heads up final. It's about to get crazy. Austin doesn't know if he can run with Matty and Trovius, but it's a borrowed car. They're going to hang the rods out of it if they have to. They drained a bunch of oil and they chilled the heck out of it. So I think he's got a chance, but this is the most exciting Indy final we've had in years. It's about to get crazy.
Here we go. Here we go. How about that? Do you agree with that?
Whatever Randy Lynn says, I'm good with. Remember, she has won seven more races than Stock Eliminator than I have. Seven.
That's an excellent point, Lewis.
Austin, yeah, Austin's one of my best friends, but I'm a Matt and Trovius fan, too. He's pretty good himself, and he used to race junior dragsters with me.
So you're tortured.
Yeah. I'm friends with both, but I think it's going to be a heck of a final round. I'm excited.
Here we go. Here we go.
Dry ice that I sell for $500 a piece, because I guarantee you somebody will buy them.
And Kevin, this moment, moments like these, they're rare.
A heads-up final.
They are. We don't typically see a lot of heads-up finals. Certainly not at the U.S. Nationals. That's extra rare.
Here we go. Oh, they're keeping them cool, baby. They're keeping them cool. Got to keep them cool. This is like Kevin McKenna in his Mustang.
No, it's not.
How about that, Kevin McKenna? How amazing is it to watch something like that, a final round where you have same category and it's old school, first to the stripe style drag racing. And I know there's a lot of people that's the reason they go.
Yeah, and Austin Williams, a perfect reaction time in the final to win it on a hole shot. So if you're going to be racing in the biggest final round of your life, you might as well do your best. And that was just, you know, one of many, many highlights from last year's race. And I'm sure we'll see something equally spectacular this year.
And so let's segue to that. And I wanted to get that in and thank you for enjoying it with us, because first of all, there was nobody there, right? It was long after the Nitro Finals we had some rain, we had some issues, and the hardcore racers, but those are the moments that people recognize. Now, right now, there's people parked, they're loading in, they're ready to race, they've been ready, they've been out there for a while. I think you posted on social, somebody was rolling into the property like, what was it, last Friday or Saturday? When did you first notice racers getting there?
They do that typically, I think the 6 years I've lived here. You're 10 to 15 days out. You've got rigs lined up at the fence and, guys that I guess they must have their favorite parking spot that they have to get, or maybe it's just good luck that they feel like the longer they're on the grounds, the better their chances will be. But it is amazing. And I really don't think there's another race of any kind anywhere where you have that sort of loyalty and that kind of, you know, traditions and emotion and things like that.
Now, you've been you live in Indy, so you've got to witness the whole, you know, three Indy races before the U.S. Nationals. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some reporting suggesting that because we had those races, that the big go is watered down. I'm hesitant to even give any oxygen to that idea, but let's squash it because I'm feeling the energy. Those races were a necessity to get us to this point where we can contest the U.S. Nationals. What was it like for you being there?
Yeah, I mean, it's hogwash to think that in any way diminishes the U.S. Nationals. You know, to your point, those three events, you know, they were all very good events for differing reasons, but they weren't Indy. They were not the U.S. Nationals. And I think we've already, you know, we're not going to send a race car down the track until tomorrow, but we've already seen that. You drive past Lucas Oil Raceway now, and the campground is starting to fill up. The pits are almost full. There's sort of the atmosphere that you expect when you go to Indy. It's already there, and I will expect it would only grow, you know, once we actually start putting cars down the track. And, you know, again, this year's U.S. Nationals may be a little different. You know, I'm not going to, you know, go so far as to say it's everything that, you know, past Indies have been. But, you know, given the chance that you know, it might not have happened at all, I think for the people that go, it will be a very fun and rewarding experience.
I agree. And it all depends on your mental outlook. There are people who, you know, the glass is half full, glass is half empty analogy that we always talk about. I'm thrilled to be having a U.S. Nationals, considering where we've been and what has happened to the world. I'm happy to have a U.S. Nationals. And okay, I can't give a walking tour or have a track walk. You know, that's a minor bummer, but 2021 is around the corner. We'll get back going again. We've got to recover. And us going out and enjoying this race and seeing one another and crowning winners, that's part of recovering.
It is. And I mean, sadly, we've lost, you know, some favorite events that I've had, like Chicago, like Sonoma, places like that I really enjoy going to every year. You know, a little sad about that, but I think I would have been devastated had we not been able to race at all at what is now my home track and certainly the most historic track in the world, really. So yeah, we're to that end, we're blessed to be able to have not just an event, but you actually have, you know, the U.S. Nationals that we all know.
So there's no way we can cover every storyline. It's not possible. You and I will be here till like 7 o'clock at night trying to cover every storyline. But there's a couple that people are already putting up in the comments section. When I mentioned that J.R. Todd has got a nose for the winner's circle and Coletta Motorsports in particular, and Cindy jumps on there immediately to defend her favorite driver, Ron Capps needs to win Funny Car. And then Billy is right behind piling in that Capps won at Indy, but he needs to win Indy, and he wants him to do it this weekend. I'm not mentioning this to Ron, and he's not watching the show right now, but that's another storyline. Just like Doug last year, he won the most recent race in Indy. They've got a little momentum. They need to win if they're going to challenge for the championship. What do you think about the NAPA team's chances?
Well, you don't need to mention it to Ron because I'm sure he's quite well aware of it. It's been something on his mind for decades, but you know, you have to like his chances as good as any other year. I mean, he's coming off a win. And really, you know, he lost in the first round at the first two Indy events, but that's really deceptive. The car was better than that. They just, you know, had a little hiccup, didn't get down the track both times. But I think the problems that they've had have been addressed. And Funny Car is stacked. There are a lot of good cars. There's probably a dozen that could easily win this thing and it wouldn't be considered an upset. But you have to like Ron Capps' chances as well as anyone's. And I think if you think he got emotional last time he won a month ago, I think it would be epic to see him finally get a U.S. Nationals Wally.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And the fans obviously bringing it up, and they are with him on that note. But we've also got, you heard Doug. Doug won last year. Doug is an emotional hopeful for the championship because he has not yet won the championship. And we had Amanda on Happy Hour show on Friday, and she talked about how when you're a journalist, you kind of always root for the best story. You know, you don't root for people, you root for stories and storylines. And we talked it out a little bit. And Doug Coletta winning the championship was definitely the most heartfelt story up until the incident with Dominic Lagana and Richie and obviously Jake. And we're flying the Nitro Ninja up there. I'm excited to see, you know, as many of the Capco team as I can. All of a sudden now, as if those guys needed extra motivation, now they're racing for something totally different than a Wally and a trophy. They've got one of their own who's really a team leader. I don't know if people realize, but like emotionally, like pumping guys up, helping out. That changes it. Like you almost can't root for or against anyone. You just got to watch it play out.
Yeah, and you know, the U.S. Nationals has a bit of history to playing towards these moments. You know, you think back to things like, you know, tragically when we lost Blaine Johnson. The things that followed that, the ceremony and things of, you know, the next triumph for Alan Johnson. This place, there's an aura about here where magic happens, and it almost makes you think that you know, some things are preordained, and you know, certainly would think that it would be incredibly overpowering and emotional should one of the Capco cars win this race on Sunday.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Pro Stock, 22 entries. We both love the category. The category is growing, and people are diving in. We've got this youth movement going on, which has been pretty cool, watching TJ go out there. What? Top Fuel? A Fuel? Pro Stock? Yes, yes, yes. Goes to the final round. Jeg swats him down. We've got the retirement grudge match going on. Jeg, Jason, now Bo gets in on the retirement thing. Final years in Pro Stock. Their final chance to win Indy. It's going to be a war.
Yeah, it is. The you know, people like to point back to the 80s and 90s when we had 30, 40 or more cars, which is true, but the fields were never this competitive. You know, of the back when you had 35 or more cars, you maybe had four or five that could win. Now, again, much like Funny Car, you've got a dozen or more that can do it. The fields are that close. It comes down more than ever to driving ability, and you've got some really phenomenal drivers in here, and that to me is what makes Pro Stock worth watching. I get that 90% of the cars are Camaros, that they, you know, maybe don't have the brand identity they did in the early years of the class. But if you really want to break it down to driving skill, close races, unpredictability, that to me is where the attention should be focused when it comes to Pro Stock.
Driving skill. Exactly. Driving skill. Unlike any other category, the driver is doing stuff against the other driver, like wrestling the machine to the finish line, shifting gears, getting off the starting line on time, leaving with a clutch. Yes, the shape of the car maybe isn't quite as factory representative as the, I'm sure you saw Brian Lone's post, the Bob Glidden, Lee Shepard, Frank Iaconio epic nationals from 1980.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. You know, those cars look like cars, but we're in a different era. They're going 210 miles an hour now. Mm-hmm. But the drivers, they got their hands full.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. You know, the cars have picked up over a second since, since 1982, the introduction of actually about a second and a half since the 500-inch rule came. Just a totally different world, totally different class. It's interesting to look back to 1980 and you know, again, you did have great, you know, Ford versus Chevy final. But from 1979 to 1985, you only had four guys win a Pro Stock race ever. And it was, you know, Shepard, Glidden, Warren Johnson, and Frank Iaconio. That is the end of the list for the better part of 6 years.
Wow. And Frank out there still building engines as we speak, which is really cool. And, you know, whenever I see Frank, I think about that time. That's when I started to pay attention, K-Mac. You know that. Gator Nationals, 1980. Yeah. And walking through the staging lanes and seeing those cars. And so, I'm a fan of Pro Stock. And to think that there's some of the, you know, Warren, for instance, still involved in certain ways, occasionally lending a hand. Pretty amazing. The dominance, if you say four guys win over 5 year span compared to what we have now, which is most have a chance.
Yeah. And Frank, I mean, Frank won Indy in 82, the first year of the 500-inch rules. And this is essentially a guy who was a one-man band. He did almost everything himself. Built engines, tuned the car, drove the car, drove the truck and trailer to the track, just sort of a jack-of-all-trades.
Yeah, amazing stuff, Frank. And remember, Kenny Delco started off this season hot. Kenny Delco was running. He was fourth in points going into the break. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of interesting. I'll be curious to see what they've got here for the big go. What do you think? Pro Stock, limited schedule, but again, wide open. But for me, the most driven and determined racer is going to be Erica, based on what happened in the final round last year.
Yeah. Obviously, devastating to lose a final like that, that you feel, you all but had it in the bag. And again, it's Indy. You only get one shot a year to do it, and you hate to see those chances go by the wayside. So, again, you spoke about extra motivation and things. I think everybody is extra motivated to win Indy, although sometimes I think that's hard to do because I think you're motivated to win every event. But, if there's one that you really want, it would be Indy, and I'm sure that those are the feelings that she's probably dealing with right now.
Yes. Well, we spoke with her last week and she seemed, calm, cool, collected, fired up, had a positive test. But I'm sure all that goes away as you roll through the gate. Pro Stock Motorcycle, they've got extra coin on the line because they've got the Mickey Thompson Pro Bike Battle in addition to the Denso Big Go. And Corey Savoie wants to know, what's the schedule for the Pro Bike Battle? Friday or Saturday? Do you know that?
I believe it's Saturday.
Yeah, there it is. He says specifically that it starts on Saturday, not on Friday. And there you go, Corey, who is out there watching. And of course, everything in COVID universe subject to adjustment or change on the fly. Whatever it is,
yeah, right.
It's subject to change. But the bike's just the same. Angel coming in, having had that recent success, I just feel that confidence is really going to propel her forward. I don't know to what level, but Andrew Hines, Eddie Krawick, Matt Smith, those guys are killers, clearly. But I'm interested to see what Angel does, and also flying Ryan Ehler, if he's able to build on his momentum that he got recently.
Yeah, and in Angel's case, I think it's more than just confidence from the last win. I think there's been a shift there that it took probably longer than she would have wanted, but she learned how to ride that bike. We've been told for years and years the Harleys are a little different animal because of their aerodynamics. They are a challenge to ride. She found that out firsthand when she got on one last year, and it took her the better part of 2019 to get the hang of it. I know they did a bunch of testing this winter, and I think you've seen the results of that here in the last race where, it's not just confidence. Her skill level has risen where some of the little nuances of that bike she now gets. And actually did a story in National Dragster with her recently, and she sort of alluded to that she's just not afraid of it anymore, that she, understands a little more about the balance and things. And, I think that has been a reason why her performance now is much closer to that of her teammates.
And her ability to recognize an area she needed to work on and work on it and maybe even overcompensate because she's ripped now, like the weightlifting and the upper body strength and the hanging on, the very tiny windscreen, which is more specifically, from what I understand, the area that is very challenging. Your body is more in the wind on a Harley, and so you will want to hold on. And sometimes that can cause maybe over-adjustment down the racetrack. And she has been so public, and we've talked about it a lot. She was on a few weeks ago, that she wanted to build that strength. And now, if you follow her Insta, she's ripped. And it's clearly working on the track.
Yeah, and years ago when she started riding, she actually told me once, she said, if my competitors knew how weak I was when I started riding, they would have burned me down all the time because I could barely hold the clutch lever in for more than a few seconds. Obviously she has gotten way, way past that now. She works out like a fiend. I know she's in the gym, 3, 4, 5 days a week. At 50 years old, she's probably one of the most fit athletes we have out here. And, at some point I think you have to look at yourself and ask, how bad do I still want to do this? And am I willing to put forth the effort? And clearly she is.
50 is definitely the new 30 anyway. That's what I'm saying.
As well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yes, it is. It is. As I slowly approach the big 5-0, it's great that these age things are shifting beneath my feet. And so I'm coming up on the new 30. Kind of cool. Pro Modified. What can you say about it other than it's been amazing? We got a lot of cars. We've got a new power adder. We've got an extra final round in all categories. We're going to see, and we could talk about that. We've covered greatly, including Justin and TJ placing a bet. The loser buys the other region's pizza for the winner, which should be interesting. But Pro Modified, Chad Green, Jason Scruggs going in that rescheduled final, but then you got the big go and the Pro Charger cars, and we haven't seen them on track a lot, but I'm excited to see this race. It's almost as if winning this race almost is a season victory.
Yeah, you know who deserves the credit for Pro Mod right now, and I'll throw one out there for the home team, the NHRA Tech Department. They absolutely got it right. The few races we've had, and even through testing, you know, you have four very different combinations in that class now, and we've seen all four of them be successful so far. Between the turbochargers, the Pro Chargers, the nitrous, the conventional superchargers, it is close. Much like Pro Stock, it has now become a driver's race and a tuner's race. And that's why when you look at not just the 16 cars that qualify, you look at the 21 or 22 that are going to be here this weekend. There are no lightweights. There are no guaranteed qualifiers. You've got to earn it every single round. And that what over the last probably 7 or 8 years has made Pro Mod, in my opinion, some of the most exciting racing anywhere on the planet. It is second to none.
It really is. Well, and the wealth of blessings that we have in NHRA drag racing. We've got so many great cars, so many cool personalities, and so many different categories that we really don't have enough time or manpower to tell all the stories. Or maybe it's that the average person doesn't have the attention span to know them all. But just Pro Mod, like, get rid of everything else and just have this Pro Mod race all by itself. It's worth $100 to get in, and you'd have a packed house if they care about drag racing.
Oh, absolutely. And tell me now who's going to win. You can't do it.
No.
We all know there's some favorites. There's some great talent in there. There's some great racers that have a history of winning. But, again, you know, if you drew, one of the 21 or 22 names out of a hat, you probably wouldn't be really upset with any pick you got.
No. No, I've been watching Clint Satterfield and Blower Bob as they go on this Pro Charger situation or centrifugal supercharger situation. It has been going pretty good. Now, you mentioned the tech department. They're trying to achieve the same situation in Factory Stock Showdown, another big deal. We've got this Factory Stock podcast we do. Spoke with Holbrook. Holbrook says he's not coming and that the Skillmans aren't coming. I want to wait till I get there to really believe that, but that's what he told us. And then an NMCA trim up there at US 131 rips off a 756 at 184. And that shows you the challenge. Like, wow, these cars are going 750, great air probably, but it's not easy to equalize totally different combinations.
No, I was actually in Martin last week.
Oh, good.
Racing my car, and not only did Holbrook go 756, but Drew Skillman went 755. and all of them, all of them well over 180 miles an hour, approaching 185. I can't speak to them not coming this week other than the fact that they're not on the entry list. So they will not be here. It's a shame, but it is what it is. I still think you've got a great show, this week. I think there's 23 or 24 factory stock cars coming. It'll be a great battle, but again, to your point, it is as difficult as it is to equalize the combinations in Pro Mod. I think it's even more difficult to do it in factory stock because you're dealing with some limitations as far as an SFI chassis spec. You're dealing with some limitations as far as how much weight you can potentially put on them. It really is a jigsaw puzzle that almost has no correct answer. It's a tricky, tricky deal. And, it's probably going to take some time to get it right.
Yeah, that exactly. Like these cars are already 3,600 pounds, and you can't.
I'll go one other thing. The people who compare factory stock to pro stock, among a few of our friends, they said you wanted pro stock 1973, you got it. Back in the weight break era, where you had constantly changing rules. You had racers get frustrated by rules. You had some racers felt like there was an advantage. You had times when certain teams or whole brands sat out. You know, we know that, you know, there was a time when the Mopar guys in Pro Stock essentially had their own event. Well, you've sort of come full circle with that here where, you know, I believe there's only one Ford Cobra Jet on the entry list for this year, which, you know, again, it's a little disappointing, but it's what you've got when you have sort of a weight break era.
That is interesting. I love that you tie that together because of the it's not a disease necessarily, but the constant like, oh, I wish we had it the way it was back in the day when it wasn't as good as it is now.
You do.
Yeah. No, it's a thing. It's a problem where people just, it's nostalgia. You always think of the good stuff and you don't remember the negative aspect of it. But it is part of it. In the alcohol ranks, some interesting storylines. Want your take. Meghan Meyer announces her retirement in a very public way, live stream, social media. Very interesting if you watched it, some of her reasoning. But she's out to win the championship. She's a defending race winner. Clearly, the family, they're going to keep racing because that's what they do. Racers race. But it's going to be kind of interesting to see Meghan under this new spotlight of defending race winner, just announced retirement, and, you know, live stream on the internet. Going to be very interesting to see how that all plays out. And, of course, all the other racers, guys who are entered, Dwayne Shields, Julie, of course, Jackie Frick has had a really good year. Thinking about, you know, Will Smith with the Harada machine, Joey Severance, clearly Sean Cowie trying to win a first championship. Wide open field.
Yeah, there's been a bit of a revival lately in the alcohol classes as far as new people coming in. New talent. I know you also have a dynamic there where there's a number of cars that are available for lease. So if you're a driver, you know, a sportsman racer that wants to step up, you know, for what would be not a tremendous amount of money, I think there's an opportunity there for you to step into a competitive alcohol car. And it's great. It is made for exciting racing there. The one thing I'm blown away by when I look at the entry list is 23 alcohol funny cars. We haven't had that at any race really in a number of years. And, you know, once again, much like Pro Stock, much like Pro Mod, the overwhelming majority of them are really good cars that, you know, you could see hanging around for a while on Sunday.
And do you think that's because obviously in pandemic era, we haven't really had nationals. And so this is a chance for everybody to go race against each other at the biggest race. Of course they're going, nobody has gone to any other nationals.
Yeah, there's probably a bit of that where, you know, you maybe had your schedule laid out this year and by March you had to shred it. But if you had, you know, sponsorship obligations and budget and things to run X number of races and you haven't done it, I think it's wise for you to get those events in now. Well, you can. I mean, thankfully, it looks like we've got a bit of clarity from now till the end of the season. Hopefully the five races that were announced today all happen with you know, no complications. That would be probably a good way to, you know, cap off what has been obviously a challenging season.
Yeah, it's exactly. Chris Marshall, the guy that I'm looking out for, mentioned him the other day in that back-to-back runner-up at the Big Go. Here, he wasn't even going to go to the first one and then went and made the final round and had that heartbreaking loss to eventual champ Bellemere. And then last year, just got beat in the final. Jay Payne, great racer, just kind of beat him. But he'll be back, and I am eager to see. Like, that's the tenacity of the drag racer, right? We're going to go back and get it done. If he were to get it done, that would be a great story. And I don't know that there's a stronger field to do it against.
No. Whoever wins on Sunday will most certainly have earned it. You know, and again, you've also got, you know, earlier you alluded to the Dom Lugano situation. You know, one of his good friends, Johnny Lindbergh, is in the field. Probably a lot of the same emotions that you have with the Capco team. I would suspect would be, you know, running
absolutely
through Johnny's mind this weekend.
Absolutely. And Alan Reinhart mentioned this a few weeks ago. You know, we could go category by category. We've already taken a lot of K-Max time. But Super Street, you want to win a Wally at the U.S. Nationals in Super Street? You got one shot.
Yeah, I did a Facebook Live with Luke Bagaki yesterday.
K-Max getting a phone call. Now he's back. Start again. Wait a second. Got to wait for your. Oh, there you go. Now you're back.
You know, I'm a popular guy today for some reason.
That's
must be fine. Bill. Must be Bill Collector Day. But you're right. This could potentially be one and done. where there is only one U.S. Nationals Super Street Wally. And wouldn't that be quite a get if you happen to be the winner? But again, with Jegs All-Stars this weekend, if you look at the field for Super Street, I think there's 48 entered. It's basically every good Super Street racer from around the country
yes.
has come here.
Sawyer's here. Everybody's here. Going to be very fun to watch in Super Street. Kevin McNichol, who I know you covered back in the Southeast Dragster days, going to be very interesting to watch. Ray Miller is in there. I think that's a different Ray Miller. But Ray Dew, who's great in his little Nova, going to be very fun. And you know I love Super Street because that's the first step of the ladder. And yet it's tough.
You have Taylor Iacono from Division One, who pretty much wrecked the Epping Sports Nationals with a win and in the final round that's been rain delayed. You just go down the list and pretty much everyone on there has multiple division wins, multiple division championships, Jegs All-Stars wins. It is the best of the best.
Rampy is back. Speaking of Jegs All-Stars, the Jegs All-Stars is super fun for us because it pits one division against the other, wrapping it into Indy. It almost is too much to comprehend, but we're going to have to comprehend it. It's going to count at the end of the year. And here we go, Jegs All-Stars.
Yeah, again, Jegs All-Stars returns to Indy. It was here for the trivia buffs. It was here in the early 80s when the Sports Nationals was here. But I think the last year would have been 84. Obviously moved from Joliet. And it's not like the U.S. Nationals needs any help bringing in talent from all over the country.
Yeah.
But you got it. You've got, in every sportsman class, you picked up, eight of the best drivers that are out there. And again, look at the entry list and look at the number of single and two digit numbers signifying either top 10 finishers or division champs. And they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's definitely going to be something to look forward to.
So NHRA announces the schedule, and we do have five races after this one, the Gator Nationals, which I was super excited and happy about because that's my home race. And I know the folks in Texas are happy because they're going to have both of their races. And then a season finale in Vegas where everyone who was watching Brian, we're not going to have the normal pageantry of after Pomona with the gala, but there will be some sort of championship celebration. And there will be champions, Kevin. Like whoever holds the trophy at the end of this season will have accomplished something great, not the same thing that everybody has done in the past, something different, maybe more challenging. Who am I to say? But now we can see where this season is going.
Well, sure. And it may be different, but everybody's been dealt the same hand as far as the number of events and the schedule shuffling. So it's still, you still have to play the cards you're dealt. And I almost wanted to ask Doug Kalita when he was on if he's even thought far enough ahead to envision what a Kalita championship celebration might look like.
Oh man.
On the streets of Las Vegas, late Sunday night.
Oh my gosh.
Full moon Halloween night at that.
It's a full moon. Unbelievable. Yeah.
The city might not make it. Vegas has endured a lot. That might be the final blow.
Take it down. I agree. And that's why, whatever happens, I don't want to count Leah out because I don't like giving bulletin board material.
Sure.
Leah is in the mix. You go win the U.S. Nationals with the point situation and another one, and all of a sudden you are right in the middle of it the way Leah has been. So I don't and others, but Leah, Doug, Steve, Billy, they are kind of a tight pack in there, and so we'll see. All right, K-Mac, final thought in that. I know I didn't ask about everything that's on your mind as we go into this epic, unbelievable race. So feel free to direct the audience to thinking about anything that you feel will benefit them as they watch this weekend on NHRA.TV and Fox Sports.
Now, well, I hope they watch on those two platforms, but I also hope if you're in the neighborhood, come on out. I believe we're up to 50% capacity for this event.
Yes.
It would be nice to see a representative crowd. You do realize that when you have these events, how much you miss the fans, how much you miss having the interaction. I'm sure the drivers all feel the same thing, but come out and support it. It's Indy. You only get one shot a year. It really is a magical place, a magical event. And I feel fortunate to be able to to do it and to be out there, but love to see as many people as possible.
Now, you saying that, let me just dig a little deeper on you, because I did this to the audience the other day. I'm very concerned about and have been very concerned about pandemic protocol. And based on what I have seen and what I have read and the things, the obligations that I'm going to be doing when I go there, I'm very fortunate that NHRA has brought me back. I am comfortable that we're going to be able to handle this thing outdoors with protocols, distancing, masks, mandatory, sanitizer everywhere. I've only seen on TV and know what I've read and spoken to. You've been there. I know you're very serious about the pandemic protocols. Just speak on that a little bit for the person that might be a little concerned. Now, if you're, 80 years old and you've got breathing issues, yes, obviously, that's part of the protocol. We want you to enjoy on TV. But if you feel comfortable, NHRA has done everything in their power to make it okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're before you can have an event like this, it's my understanding you have to submit a plan to the state. It's reviewed and going forward, you need to adhere to those guidelines. And I think that, the first three events, I believe, we've done a very good job of doing that, which is why we have the ability to have a fourth event here at Indy. And it's a bit uncomfortable wearing a mask. I think most people agree, but it's not that difficult. It really isn't. And I think you're even getting a break with the weather. It's not supposed to be overly hot this weekend. To me, it's a very small price to pay to be able to enjoy your favorite sport. And I think most people out there, the overwhelming majority of them, are of the same mindset that, if this is what we need to do to have these events and to have future events, then let's do it. Let's get past this. We've only got to do this till the end of the year. I think most of us have high hopes for next year that there's very much a return to normalcy. We can leave it at that. But I feel very comfortable out there.
That's what I wanted to hear. And that's what I think we need to do, because it's not. Let's try to get that 50% capacity and have a great event. I was doing a media day thing with Clint Boyer right before I jumped on here, and he was speaking about how great it was for his psyche to have the 20,000 fans at Daytona on Saturday night. And mm-hmm. how it felt like the racing that he knew, and he just loved it. And I would love to give our racers that atmosphere as well. All right, before we let you go, you mentioned you were at US 131 and you were racing the Mustang. What happened? How'd it go?
I wish I could tell you what happened. This sport is hard, Joe. It is hard. I did manage to get to the semis. I did qualify number one in my class, so it wasn't a total loss, So some days the Christmas tree is just not your friend, and I need to find a way to make peace with it.
Wow. Okay. So, hey, number one qualifier, semifinal finish. You didn't even have to tell us that the tree was an issue. It's hard. No, these people don't realize. You watch on TV. No. You're an old school bracket racer, and as am I, and people can watch the lights come down all day long and be like, yeah, man, you just press the gas when the last one comes on. It's much harder than that.
It is much harder, and it only takes one very, very minor lapse in concentration to ruin your whole, well, not just your whole day, your whole weekend, really. And again, I think that is part of what makes drag racing attractive to people, where you don't get a second chance more often than not. You don't get, as they talk, circle track racing, where you can't just make it up on the next lap. You make a mistake, you're going to pay the price for it. And I've done that quite a bit. I think, as I mentioned on my Facebook page, about 10 years ago, I wrote a book, How to Drag Race, kind of a step-by-step guide to this. My next book will be How Not to Drag Race. I've got plenty of material compiled. We're already well on our way to a sequel.
That's great. Hopefully to be available on Amazon.com whenever you're ready to do it. K-Mac, great hanging out with you, man. Good talking with you. You get me fired up. That's the thing. You get me fired about drag racing, your passion, the details, all that stuff. Hopefully everybody feels the same way. And I'm super excited. Like you said, normalcy, the idea to get back to that. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, it'll be great to see you. We'll do the elbow bump.
And, yeah.
There's a lot of people that I think couldn't make the first three events. Looking forward to seeing them. And I think we're all going to have a great time.
No doubt, no doubt. Kevin, thank you very much, and we'll see you in a few days. See you tomorrow.
You're welcome.
Maybe. All right, there he goes. That guy, K-Mac, NHRA National Dragster, with us here on WFO Radio. Like, is there, I forget where it was, but there was a debate about the most knowledgeable drag racing people in the world. Like, who are they? And Kevin was one that was mentioned. Kevin, Phil, right? It was an interesting debate. Kepner. And last year at Indy, K-Mac had like that brain trust at the house. Of course, I got to see and just like shut up, right? Like, what was it? We did a podcast for Total Seal. Joey Arrington is on. It's going to come out real soon. And he said that Maurice Petty gave him the best piece of advice that he ever got in his life. And it was this: shut up so nobody knows how dumb you are. And that was one of the moments that I applied that factor. Like, I just need to listen and learn. And it was great. Great times. And thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that. Say hi to Jill. I'll see you in a few days. Those of you who are in the comment section, put up your final comments. Let's do it. Put up the final comments, and I will get to them. But first, I'm going to tell you about a couple of things that I consider of vital importance. Number one, face coverings, WFO Radio face coverings like this. If you would like one for $10, including shipping, and I'm going to throw in a couple of WFO Radio stickers also for $10. How is that? I'm like Crazy Eddie over here. My prices are insane. Go to the official WFO store on WFOradio.com. Get yourself a WFO Radio face covering for $10. Now, maybe you don't want the face covering and you just want stickers. I'll give you those for free. Just send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the address on the screen, P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida 33084. Care of Castello Media / WFO stickers. Put two stamps on it, please, and I'll throw in a couple of stickers for you to show off to your friends. But honestly, I think the face covering is a better deal at $10. And plus, it helps us with the show. I want to say what's up to our sponsors, the people who have made it possible. Talked about Total Seal Piston Rings a little bit earlier in the show. No doubt, their gas-ported top rings help you find that hidden horsepower. And if you don't believe me, listen to the Hidden Horsepower podcast. Full-page ad in NHRA National Dragster. That is like a prideful thing right there. Seeing a podcast you create, and the numbers are skyrocketing. You got Jason Lyne, Pat Musi, Round Track Racers, Ed Pink, Tom Martino, all up there in the podcast feed. It's all evergreen material, by the way. TotalSeal.com. Give them a call. Go to their brand new website to learn more about Total Seal and their products. Also, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Frank and Lana Hawley. Oh, I didn't mention to K-Mac that me and Alan came up with the Dragster Adventure Frank Hawley edition, and that we're going to try to draft him in there. Yeah. Why not, right? If we're doing a theoretical race, why should Kevin McKenna not be involved in the theoretical race? Amanda, theoretical. Brian Lones, theoretical. Alan Reinhardt, theoretical. And me, FrankHawley.com. But it doesn't have to be theoretical. If you and your friends want to do it, you can set up a race, the Dragster Adventure Challenge. Think about that. And I showed the video a little bit earlier. I want you to put yourself in this position, you and your buds, racing each other. Traveling around the country, smaller class sizes, social distancing, etc. FrankHawley.com. Really appreciate Frank and Lana. And finally, Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Go to Factory Stock Podcast, learn about the school, and hear about Chris Holbrook and Drew Skillman, and also Aaron Stanfield, great guest, and Kevin Skinner, the lone Cobra Jet, who will be running the U.S. Nationals. You Ford fans, it's not like your fandom is divided. You got one guy to root for, and you can hear him on Factory Stock Podcast, The Black Hammer, the name of his car. But really, it's all about, for you young people out there, realizing that a great career lies ahead, a great career. Don't be like me. Don't be like me. Podcaster, media guy, hawking face coverings for a living. What kind of life is this? No, become a machinist, man. Learn how to program a CNC machine. Learn how to tune fuel injection in their fuel injection classes. Blockhead CNC programs. Be a part of racing. Keep it going. Don't be like me. Go to samtech.edu. I think that's their new tagline. Don't be like Joe. Yeah, exactly. And I, of course, mentioned Marvin Rodak. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm going to go full on crazy social media person as best as I can at the U.S. Nationals, like starting tomorrow morning at 4 a.m. when I get up. You're going to get the whole, like, hard knocks, me rolling out of bed. on Twitter and Instagram, probably mostly Instagram. Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I was just checking my reviews on the WFO Radio podcast yesterday. They are mostly good, as in we have a 5-star rating average over the course of 98 ratings, which is incredible. But we need more reviews. And the one guy, you, sir, you just ruined my day. One guy, he complained, gave me 1 star. And why? Some technical thing. Something didn't work on some day, or we split the feeds. We were trying to learn the best way to engage the audience. We split the feeds, and he laid into us. It's like 3 years ago. It's still on there. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe and click that bell. We want to get to 1,000 subscribers as soon as is possible. If you want a WFO Radio t-shirt like this one, Podfather of Drag Racing, 10-year anniversary, WFO, go to NitroFishRacing.com. And if you're planning on buying the WFO Radio t-shirt, use this promo code WFO20. And I encourage you to use that on everything except the Lagana Strong t-shirt, which we don't want you using any promo code. And you should not do it. Because all that money is going to go to Dominic and the family. And Gary Pritchett put out and I've mentioned it each day, and I know we have got different listeners every day. If you hear me say the same thing every day, it's not because I know you're the same person listening. It's because I know there's new people listening. And the update, you know, they're fighting. There's good days and there's bad days. What we can do is all continue to rally behind. And it's something that one of the things I'm most excited about is seeing Bobby and the Capco boys. And that whole squad. And I really look forward to that. And I'll be heading up there tomorrow. All right. Time for final comments. Final comments in the comments section. And we'll get it out there. I do want to mention the big bet, TJ and Justin Ashley. The big pizza bet on Friday. If you were looking for more content, go back and watch our happy hour show. It was really one of our best. We had a lot of fun. And I wish Doug luck. Let's see what the comments are. Final comments. Those of you. Derek Green is running behind. But what has the car count been on average in Indy 1, 2, and 3 versus Indy? I do not have the exact answer, but I can tell you the answer is way less. We got 891 cars on the property. I bet you less than 300 for 1, 2, and 3, although I do not have it. I cannot give you the exact answer, but way, way up. Because we're having alcohol, funny car, alcohol dragster, pro mod, pro stock, factory stock, pro stock motorcycle, competition limited. We got everybody. It's the big go. It's not even comparable. Scott, Joe, have fun in Indy. See you in Gainesville. I'll be the guy in the mask. You're the one. You'll be the guy in the mask. We're all going to be in masks. My dad is sad, guys. My dad is bummed out. I'm not bringing him. He's not allowed to go. Sorry, Dad. Not allowed to go because he is 77 years old. And he's got a little bit of a breathing thing. And so that's what NHRA.TV is for. And I believe I saw NHRA.TV is going to be up bright and early tomorrow. So that is good. That is very good and very exciting. We got to get the fans out there. I can tell you, 50% capacity is going to feel pretty good. Next one, Max. Max Mortimer. What all will you be doing at the race this weekend? What all will I be doing at the race this weekend? Unknown. I will definitely be doing Attention to the Pits, the YouTube show on NHRA's YouTube channel. We're going to try to find some drag racers that are worth covering. I feel like that should be pretty easy. I've got a hit list of 3. I invited my Patreons, the Patreon show, the VIP Patreon show. They pay for the show. They pay for VIP access to WFO Radio. Very likely, you know, $5-$10 a month, $20 a month, whatever they want. Patreon.com/WFO Radio, but I asked them to give me some ideas on what to do for Attention to the Pits. Like, what do you guys think? And I got some good ideas, and I'm ready to take those in. So I'll be doing that. I'll also be calling various action, rotating. We're going to try to figure out how to do some interviews while social distance on the starting line, kind of like in NASCAR with the pole. I'll be holding the pole, I'm just going to leave it right there. Let's see. Monica, thanks for another great show. We'll be listening and watching on NHRA.TV this weekend. Have fun. I will try to have fun. I'm excited. Going straight to the track tomorrow. Chuck, your mask is in the mail, brother. Yeah, no, I had gotten a bunch of orders, but I did not get a notification that I got the orders. But, you know, every couple of days I go in, and I just hadn't. So, Chuck, your face covering is on its way. If it doesn't get there, let me know. Looking forward to watching the big go starting tomorrow on NHRA.TV. Having Joe, Brian, and Alan making the race calls there will feel like things are a little more right in the world. Ah, that's a really nice thing to say, Chuck, and I appreciate it. Yes, I have returned, and with me I bring normalcy, or at least some semblance thereof. That's what I hope to accomplish, to make people feel a little bit better about the things that have happened and the things that will happen. The fact that we are getting there, we're all getting there together. Nobody has liked what has happened. It has been a big bummer, man. Big bummer. But the good news is, we're hopefully on the other side of that top of the mountain, coming down the other side. And hopefully it will get better and easier. There'll be bumps in the road, I have no doubt. We just got to keep on trucking. One star. Good grief. I know, Monica. It's a bummer, man. Go read the reviews. They're all glowing. If you like drag racing, the only thing you might not like about this show is me. And hopefully you would probably overlook that. Like Doug Coletta, Kevin McKenna, Erica Enders, Justin Ashley and TJ Zizzo interviewing each other, Balloon Knot, all of those things. And write us a great review on our podcast. Somebody asked me, like, how do you do that? I'm on Google. Apple Podcasts, I think, is the only place you can write reviews. But you can get our show on Spotify, on SoundCloud. Had Tommy Noodles on the Ignition Show, my old XM partner. That was pretty cool. Jeff says, have a great indie. Thank you. I hope the voice makes it. I'll just leave that there. 5 stars from this guy all day long. Thank you very much. I want to go, Joe. I want to go, too. I don't know who you are. I just purchased NHRA.TV for the weekend. Yes, you can do it for just the weekend. Larry says, have a safe trip. Larry, I sent you your mask like a week ago. Hopefully you got it. And Monica, guess I better go give a review. Yes, exactly. Nobody thinks that they need to be one to give the review. But you do. You got to write a review. Because it's not about the review. It's about Apple and their algorithm. This person has a 1-star review. Let's not show his podcast to everybody. Which is annoying. Thanks to Kevin McKenna. Thanks to Doug Coletta. Thanks to Luth Flath and Elon for setting up Doug. Doug's a big get the day before the U.S. Nationals. And I suggest you go to NHRA's Facebook page and watch Brian Loans if you missed it, because he lays it all out there for these next races. The next race after Indy will be Gainesville, and we got 5 more after Indy. Ending in Vegas, baby. All right, that's going to do it. Thank you so much. Really appreciate all you guys, and we'll see you guys at the big go. Thank you so much, WFO.
WFO! This is WFO Radio.
I love WFO Radio.
Oh, yeah.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
Start your education at full speed with the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Accelerate your career as a high-performance engine builder with classroom instruction and practical hands-on experience in the lab, on the dyno, and at the track. In addition to the block, head, and CNC programs, SAM now offers motorsport EFI tuning and an Associate's of Applied Science degree. And SAM is a military-friendly school, approved to train veterans and other eligible persons under the GI Bill. Start your education at full speed. Go to samtech.edu today.
We're talking gourmet coffee, we're talking hot sauces, we're talking spice rubs, we're talking everything good at RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, been doing it since the 70s, figured out that life is better with great coffee, and oh, he's so right. 817-924-6821. Call Marvin. He'll roast up some coffee fresh for you. Throw in some hot sauce, some spice rub, and you will be loving it. Hit them up, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Hey, engine builders. Total Seal Piston Rings are the leader in ring seal technology, and they go out of their way to help their customers and will make custom sets for any specific piston you might have. Customer service, top-notch. Made in America? Absolutely. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona, and they've got everything it takes to develop the world's best piston rings. Give them a call at 800-874-2753 or go to totalseal.com. Attention adrenaline junkies, Frank Hawley's Dragster Adventure is calling you. Rides available for the 2020 season. Go to frankhawley.com. They're coming to a track near you. It makes a great gift, whether it be licensing for Super Comp, Super Gas, all the way up to Top Alcohol. They can do it. But if you're a drag racing fan and you've always imagined what it might be like to drive a dragster to accelerate 0 to 60 in 3 seconds and run 10s in the quarter mile, give them a call. 866-480-7223, frankhawley.com, the Dragster Adventure, and tell them you heard it on WFO.
WFO Radio is brought to you in part by Extreme Velocity 3 Drag Racing. Download for your mobile device. Win your way on the show. WFO.
This is WFO Radio.